Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. I trust the Holy Spirit will teach you from the inside. This is not going to be like a head knowledge. Okay, so it's a difficult concept, it's an advanced concept, but the Holy Spirit will make it clear from the inside. Okay, so if I lost you, I apologize. The meat is on Romans 7. There's a reason why it's Romans 7 instead of Romans 1, because it's deep. Is level 7, right? So, I can't stay shallow all the time. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, New King James Version Bible. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Now it says that we at one time, that means before we got born again, right? We also conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. And then the Bible defines what that means, to conduct ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Do you see that there are two things here on how a person would be conducting himself in the lust of his flesh? A person who is conducting himself in the lust of his flesh will be fulfilling, number one, the desires of the flesh, and number two, the desires of the mind. Now, the part that is pretty easy is the desires of the flesh. Everybody knows what the desires of the flesh, you know, things that are not holy, things that's not clean, all right? Impurities, you know, lust and all those things. Those are the desires of the flesh. The mind that is of the flesh will think on carnal things. So that's easy for me. The desires of the flesh, I understand that. Okay, the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, I understand that. But the part that I don't understand is the second part. Fulfilling the desires of the mind. What's wrong with fulfilling the desires of the mind? This is the part where a true, genuine, born-again believer many times fall into the trap without even realizing they are actually conducting themselves in the lust of their flesh when they are trying to fulfill the desires of the mind. What's wrong with fulfilling the desires of the mind? Okay, don't answer me. Don't answer me. What's wrong with fulfilling the desires of the mind? We know the desires of the flesh is bad stuff. That's easy. Even people who are not born again, they know, you know, they're not supposed to be having lust. They're not supposed to be having a hatred. They're not supposed to... even people who are not born again, they know that is wrong, right? To murder someone, to kill someone, or to hate someone, or to have lust. You don't need the Holy Spirit to reveal that. But it takes the Holy Spirit to understand that conducting ourselves in the lust of our flesh also includes fulfilling the desires of the mind. Alright? Now, again, like I said, what's wrong with fulfilling the desires of the mind? Let the Bible answer that question. How about that? Let's not give commentaries to the Bible. Turn with me to Romans 7 verse 25, the second part of Romans 7, 25. So this is Romans 7 verse 25b from New King James Version Bible. Or from, if you have King James, that's fine. Alright? Everybody there yet? Alright. Everybody there yet? Okay, Romans 7, 25b. With the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Let me read it one more time. With the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Anybody seeing something here? We just read in Ephesians 2, right? It says, a person who is conducting themselves in the lust of their flesh will be fulfilling two things. The desires of the flesh and the desires of the mind. Say with me, the flesh.
The flesh.
Say with me, the mind.
The mind.
The mind, the flesh. The mind, the flesh. And you see this, these two things shows up in Romans 7:25b. With the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Now I know the law of sin. That's easy, the law of sin. With the flesh. Because in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. So those are all the bad stuff. But what's wrong with my mind trying to serve the law of God? In other words, I want to do what's right. I want the desire with my mind. I want to do what's right. I want to serve the law of God. Don't you agree that the law of God is good and holy and righteous, right? With my mind, I want to do what is good. I desire to do what's right. Have you heard, you know, people telling you, you got to do what's right. Or, stop sinning. Stop sinning and do what is right. Come on, how long have you been a Christian? You should know better. Do what is right. You got to do what is right. Right? With my mind, I desire to serve the law of God. You don't have to tell me to do what's right. A truly born again believer, with the mind, he wants to do what's right. He wants to serve the law of God. Amen? But here's the problem with the law of God. Number one, the law is holy, righteous, and just. Now, I just showed you Romans 7:25, so let's read Romans 7, right? Within the context, right? Let's give a whole context of, okay, what's wrong with the desire of the mind, the desire to serve the law of God? I want to do what's right. Right? Have you ever been condemned by messages in the past? You gotta do what's right. Stop sinning. You gotta do what's right. You are a Christian. How could you do that? How could you say that? And then the law of your mind says, yeah, you're right. I want to serve the law of God. But there is a problem here. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7, verse 7 to 23. This is a long passage, okay? So like I said, I apologize if I lost you because this is deep stuff. This is from New English Translation Bible, NET, because it's really, really blunt. The translation is very accurate because the New English Translation is like New American Standard Bible, and it's like King James Version Bible, where it's almost like word for word translation of the Greek. So it's pretty in depth. All right. So this is from New English Translation Bible. It's actually a pretty good Bible for those who like to study the word really deep. New English Translation Bible. Okay, this is verse 7 to 23. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Absolutely not. Certainly, I would not have known sin except through the law. For indeed, I would not have known what it means to desire something belonging to someone else if the law had not said, do not covet, but sin, seizing the opportunity through the commandment, produce in me all kinds of wrong desires. You know, if we want to be honest as born again believers, Christians, how many of us have at some time been filled with all kinds of wrong desires? As a pastor, I'm going to raise my hand first. Let's speak honestly. Is that okay for Christians to open the mask and let them see the vulnerability of realizing that there were times that I feel like I have all kinds of wrong lust, all kinds of wrong desires in me? Because if this is experienced by Apostle Paul, how much more it will be experienced by, believers? I believe this is a true, genuine believer would experience this contradiction, as it were. You know, some people take Romans 7 and say, "Well, that's for people who are not yet born again. They have all kinds of wrong desires." Boy, even after you are born again, my friends, right? Even Christians, if they put confidence in the flesh is still as stinking flesh as before we got born again today. Yeah. Do you understand? The flesh is still the flesh. And so what Apostle Paul is saying here, sin seizing the opportunity through the commandment produced in me all kinds of wrong desires, for apart from the law, sin is dead. Did you hear that, beloved of God? It says, apart from the law, sin is dead. Well, let's keep on reading. Verse 9. And I was once alive apart from the law, but with the coming of the commandment, sin became alive and I died. Okay? So, I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life brought death. The law of God, right, that is supposed to bring life, it brought death to me. And it says, why? Verse 11. For sin, seizing the opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it I died. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Verse 13. Did that which is good then become death to me? Absolutely not. But sin, so that it would be shown to be sin, produced death in me through what is good. So that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. Oh, beloved of God, I want to let you know, in that verse 13, it says, sin produced death in me through what is good, so that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. Do you see how when a person who is born again tries to fulfill the desire of the mind, I want to do what's right because I want to serve the law of God. No matter how sincere the person might be, right? Sin will take advantage of the commandment to produce in that believer, according to the scripture, all kinds of wrong desires. And sin will become utterly sinful. That's why a lot of Christians are so frustrated with their lives, because they are living in a mistaken identity. When you read carefully what the scripture says, right? Look at that. Verse 13, it says, sin produced death in me through what is good. It is sin in the flesh that is producing death in you, beloved of God. In other words, when we do not have the revelation that I'm no longer the flesh, I'm no longer the sin in the flesh. I'm a born again person. I'm a spirit being. I'm not the flesh, right? Then every time we walk after the flesh, which includes trying to fulfill the law of God, to fulfill the desire of the mind, right? And then that law is strengthening the sin in your flesh, right? And then what happens? The cycle continues. And that is what's causing a lot of depression in Christian life, because they see all kinds of wrong desires in their lives and they don't know why. Because they're not hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that has given you the true identity of who you are. Do not be a hostage of sin in your flesh. Because sin in your flesh, okay, the truth of the matter is, it has already been condemned at the cross, beloved of God. Amen. Did you hear what I'm saying here today? All right. I just want to encourage you, beloved of God, that you'll be set free by the message today. And the purpose is so that someday you can teach other people this truth, so that you can set their lives free also. This is the doctrine of Apostle Paul that will lead unto godliness, right? But it takes the Holy Spirit to understand this message. So I'm going to keep on reading here. I left off at verse 13.
Yeah.
Did that which is good then become death to me? Absolutely not, but sin, so that it would be shown to be sin, produced death in me through what is good, so that through the commandment sin would become utterly sinful. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold into slavery to sin. So at one time, I was sold into the slavery to sin. Even though I am already set free today, right? But there is still sin in my flesh. Do you understand? And unless I renew my mind to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will still be living like a slave. Even though I'm free today. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Holy Spirit is renewing our mind right now to know our identity, our real identity. Our mind needs to be aligned to what the Spirit is saying. So I'm going to keep on reading. Okay? It says, I am unspiritual, sold into slavery to sin. Verse 15, for I don't understand what I'm doing, for I do not do what I want. Instead, I do what I hate. Anybody have experienced this? I mean, come on, again, let's be transparent, okay? People don't like to talk about Romans 7 and they just dismiss it. Oh, that's just for people who are not born again. But I would argue that Romans 7, yes, it can be applicable for people who are not yet born again. But I would argue a person who is genuinely born again would have the same struggle as what Apostle Paul is saying here. It says, okay, verse 15, I don't understand what I'm doing, for I do not do what I want. Instead, I do what I hate. This is a genuine characteristic of a person who is truly born again, is that he desires with his mind to serve the law of God, to do what's right. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. I want to do what's right. I remember one time, not a marriage counseling, I went to this couple. At that time, I was not really enlightened with the gospel yet. So we got this couple in a church that I attend to at that time, who was supposed to be like the leaders in the church. So we thought that, you know, they can help me in my marriage, because my marriage is not going anywhere. We're not seeing eye to eye and things like that. And of course, in my frustration back then, I tried to find satisfaction somewhere else. You know, go online or go to websites that are, they're trying to promise satisfaction. Okay? And so I was living in bondage at that time, because I did not know any better at that time. So I was told that as a Christian, live holy life. I am holy. say, you must be holy because I'm holy. Those are like, maybe it was not preached that way. It was like as if my own conscience was preaching to me all the time, because I was not hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my marriage was falling apart, and I was trying to find satisfaction somewhere else, trying to find a fulfillment somewhere else. And so we go to this counseling, right? We go to this couple that is supposedly like the leaders in the church, so we hope that maybe they have some godly counsel. And God sees them righteous. They're just ignorant. They don't know what they're talking about. They have a sincere heart to try to help me out, you know, in my condition. Why do you bicker so much in your marriage? Why do you have struggle even in your thought life? Why do you have so much lust in your thought that you go to websites that have suggestive contents and all these things, trying to find pleasure in sin? Oh, there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a time being. It's not going to satisfy you, right? So, you know, we went to this counseling and to this leaders in a church, if you will, the church that I went to before I became a pastor, and lo and behold, I realized the difficulty, the spot where they're in. Number one, the church that we went to really don't believe in the message of grace, okay? So they cannot say anything that's contrary to what the upper management is saying, right? Otherwise, they'll be in trouble, right? So it's not their fault. I'm not saying they're giving me misleading information. They just don't know any better. So this is a message for all the grace people. Don't hold bitterness against people in the past that may have taught you the wrong thing. Because that was being passed down to them by the people that they were listening to when they're growing up. Mm-hmm. They are still the righteousness of God in Christ just as much as you. Mm-hmm. All right? But in all fairness and in all sincerity, right? We were so hurt, we were so in need of a godly counsel. And I realized that these people, number one, cannot preach anything against what the upper management is saying in the church they went to. Number two, they don't have the revelation of the gospel of grace. And number three, they are busy people. they have their own problems. They have their own stress. And now you come to them.
And guess
what kind of advice that would be spewed out of their mouth. This I still remember to this day what they said to me. Henry, stop sinning.
Don't do that.
Love your wife more. And you know what? Even though at that time I was not a pastor, right? I did not have the revelation of the gospel. But something in me rise up, not in anger, but I know something's wrong here. With my mind, lady, I want to serve the law of God. You don't have to tell me don't sin. Mm-hmm. Right? Because with my mind, I desire to serve the law of God as much as you do. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And of course, I was like, almost like there was a godly anger in me when I was receiving that counsel. I was like, I forgot what I said. but for the first time in all this counseling that I dare to challenge these so-called leaders, right? And I said, I forgot what I said, but to the point where I was saying, you know what? That's what exactly what I want to do. You don't have to tell me to do what's right. You don't have to tell me to stop sinning. That's what I want to do. I'm just here needing some help to let me know, you know, what has gone wrong here? You know what has gone wrong? I was believing wrong. I did not have the right doctrine that would lead unto godliness, and it caused me to live in a bondage upon bondage. Okay, I did not know any better, and it really is just something that I've learned how important it is to have the doctrine that would lead unto godliness, which is the doctrine that Apostle Paul teaches.
Makes a difference.
And I want to let you know, I learned that this doctrine is something that you're supposed to be governed by the Holy Spirit and grow deeper and deeper into that knowledge. You cannot say, I know that, Pastor, 7 years ago when I first the message of the gospel. Because this doctrine is so deep, right? It will cause your life to be so free the more you immerse yourself in the knowledge, the correct and precise knowledge of Jesus Christ and what He has done. Because a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And beloved of God, I want to let you know, your life will have a bigger dimension of victory starting today as you allow the Holy Spirit to remind you of your identity again, and you don't live based on the lie of the wrong identity that you are not. Okay? So I'm going to keep on reading here. Again, the material is deep, but it will set Christian free from the bondage of depression, from the bondage of gloominess, from the bondage of pornography, from the bondage of drugs, from the bondage of anything in this world that caused them to be so frustrated because they feel so dirty, they feel so unclean, they feel not victorious because they're living from the wrong identity. So I'm going to keep on reading here. I'm not done yet. Where was I? Okay, verse 15, that's where I left off. It says, "For I don't understand what I'm doing, for I do not do what I want, instead I do what I hate." Verse 16, "But if I do what I don't want, I agree that the law is good." I agree with my mind there, that the law is good. Right? Verse 17, "But now it is no longer me doing it, but sin that lives in me." Oh, did you hear that? Have you been living in a mistaken identity? You are confessing sins when you did not commit sin that caused you to be, basically having all kinds of wrong desires? Because it says, verse 17, "But now it is no longer me doing it, but sin that lives in me." So there's two entities here. One is you. The other one is sin. You've got to look at sin not like a verb, like I do something wrong, you know. Sin here is a noun. Okay, if you look up the Greek there, sin is not a verb, like what you do, action, verb. It's a noun. It's an entity. It's like a person. All right? It says, "But now it is no longer me doing it, but sin that lives in me." Now verse 18, "For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh." So when he says me, nothing good in me, he's referring to what? His flesh. Okay, again, my flesh here is another entity. It's a noun again. My flesh. So I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. For I want to do the good, but I cannot do it. Verse 19, "For I do not do the good I want, but I do the very evil I do not want." And then here, verse 20, "Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer me doing it, but sin that lives in me." Do you see there are two identities here? One is you, created in righteousness and holiness by the blood of Jesus, right? You're born again. Your spirit is perfect, right? And then there's another entity here. It's called sin, or to be exact, it's called sin in the flesh. Say with me, sin in the flesh.
Sin in the flesh.
Do you see there are two identity here? There are two separate entity. Barbara, we're in verse 19. Let me read verse 19 one more time. For I do not do the good I want, but I do the very evil I do not want. And in verse 20, now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer me doing it, but sin that lives in me. Do you see that the one that is sinning is not you, but it's sin that lives in your flesh? There are two separate identities. Sin in the flesh, and then you who is created in righteousness and holiness. Remember, when you got born again, your spirit is perfect, is one with God. Right? I want to give credit to Andrew Womack, right, on the teaching on spirit, soul, and body. He has that revelation that your spirit is perfect when you got born again. So, and that's true. That's the revelation from the Holy Spirit, right? And to the degree we renew our mind to the reality of who we are in our born-again spirit, we'll have more and more victory in our soul, and even our body will be healthier. You see that, the spirit, soul, and body. So he has that wonderful revelation, Andrew, on spirit, soul, and body, where our spirit is perfect. Now, you are a spirit being. You're not the flesh. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. When you got born again, you are no longer that sin in the flesh, although it still exists, but it's already been crucified. That means it has no power to cause you to live like a people who are under the power of the prince of the air, the children of disobedience, the Bible says. You know, people who are not born again, no matter how many good works that they do, they will always be under the dominion of the flesh. But for believers, the flesh has been crucified. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So no matter how many good things the people who are not born again do, they will always still be under that bondage because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. And the flesh, you know, is still there. But from the moment that you believe, God put you, right, in Christ. That means when Jesus went to the cross, it's as if you went to the cross. From the moment you believe, right? Mm-hmm. When Jesus died at the cross, it's like you died also at the cross. And then when he was buried, you were buried along with all the flesh. And then when he rose again, it's as if you rose again. And then when Jesus was ascended up, far above all principalities and power, where are you? You are in him. From the moment you believe, God put you in Christ, right? And now you are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. But here's a problem. Even though sin in the flesh is already crucified, it already died. Remember, I am unspiritual because I was sold as a slave to sin. That means I still have a slave mindset in me. Even though I'm no longer living in Egypt, remember? The children of Israel, they were slaves, right?
Yeah.
They were slaves of Egypt. But did you know that long after they were set free from Egypt, when they were in the desert, they still had the slave mindset.
Mm-hmm. They want to go back to Egypt.
They no longer have the physical Egyptians whipping them, but in their mind, it's as if the Egyptian taskmaster is still there. Now, here's the problem, right? When I try to fulfill the law of God with my mind, the Bible is saying this, I end up doing the things that I hate. Because the thing that I want to do, I do not do. But the things that I hate, I keep on doing. Why? Because I'm living in a mistaken identity. I'm no longer living from my born-again spirit, which is perfect, made in true righteousness and holiness. I'm living from my flesh. That means I'm governed by my mind. Have you ever met people who are governed by their mind all the time? Like, you talk about spiritual things with them, but they just dismiss it as total nonsense. Mm-hmm. Because they say, it does not make sense. Mm-hmm. What you're saying doesn't make sense. That's the problem. It's the making sense of our mind that is blocking people. Even Christians, when they are dominated by their flesh, the mind here, right? Even the good desire to serve the law of God that is causing them, all right, to eventually die. Because the Bible says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Now, it does not mean you lose your salvation for a Christian, but just saying that you will literally have all kinds of problems in your body, and eventually, because before a person dies, you got to have sickness, all kinds of stuff, living in a mistaken identity. They're not hearing the gospel, right? And then they eventually will die. They still have their salvation if they're truly born again, right? But God wants you to live and not die. God's desire is for you to live and not die. What are you going to do in heaven up there?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, we can praise the Lord. Yeah, he also got angels praising him 24/7. And for your information, the angels sang much better than even the Grammy Award winners. Okay. Bringing all the best divas you've got is nothing compared to some of the least angels, right? So here's the thing, beloved of God. I'm going to keep on reading. I'm not done yet, alright? So I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm excited because I see you're getting it. I see you're seeing where I'm coming from. And I pray that the Lord will give the revelation in you again. The goal is so that you can set other people free. You can teach other people what I'm teaching you here. Amen? So it says, that was verse 19. Yes, no, I left. For I do not do the good I want, but I do the very evil I do not want. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer me doing it, but sin that lives in me. Let me address this part about it says, it is no longer me doing it, but sin that lives in me. Okay? What does it mean, it is no longer me doing it, but sin that lives in me? Number one, it is sin in the flesh that creates all kinds of wrongful desires in me. Right? But it says it's no longer me doing it. It's sin in the flesh that's doing it. Right? And I just want to let you know that the flesh is the flesh. It's so bad that you cannot make excuses for the flesh. Remember.
It's not okay to make excuses for the flesh.
It is bad. It is. You don't make excuses for the flesh. The flesh cannot be forgiven. The flesh, Jesus never forgives the flesh. The flesh cannot be forgiven. The flesh can only be condemned. That's why Romans 8:3 says God condemns sin in the flesh. God did not forgive sin in the flesh. Romans 8:3, it says God condemned.
So sin
in the flesh
cannot be forgiven.
It can only be condemned. So don't call evil good or good evil. All right. Remember, don't try to make excuses in defense of the flesh, because in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
So you can't say, "Oh, that's just my flesh."
Oh, you can't say, well, good is evil, evil is good. You don't make excuses for the flesh. The flesh is so stinking flesh, just as stinky as just before we got born again, although we're no longer under its dominion. We're already set free from the dominion of flesh, right? But we don't make excuses for them. You can only condemn it. But you, beloved of God, do not condemn yourself. There's a two different identity here.
Condemn the behavior.
The sin in the flesh is not just behavior. Sin in the flesh is like a root of an issue here.
Okay.
And then out of that sin in the flesh, it comes out all the wrong behaviors. Then people condemn the behavior, but then don't realize about the flesh.
That's
right? But here, beloved, you have to understand, there are two separate identities here. You condemn sin in the flesh, but you don't condemn yourself. Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ. That's why I want to tell people, be careful about this doctrine. You got to confess your sin, confess your sin, confess your sin. Because when you confess your sins, you're saying, I am the one who sinned. That's why, Lord, please forgive me. But God says, I have forgiven you once and for all at the cross. When you receive the forgiveness of sins, when you believe Jesus into your life. You understand what I'm saying? Do you know how the doctrine needs to really be lined up with what Apostle Paul is teaching? So we can get the good fruits out of our lives. Have you seen Christians who are living in bondage? Alright? Could it be that they're living in a mistaken identity? Could it be that they're actually making excuse for the flesh and they condemn themselves?
Mm. No, yeah. It is in fact what they're doing.
And then
they were not taught this.
And then we hear messages in some places, stop sinning!
As if it's you doing.
No wonder! I'm still surprised so many Christians are still standing in faith today. Without this knowledge, it's only by the grace of God we're still standing today when our doctrine is so messed up. Not in line with the doctrine that is according to godliness that Apostle Paul preached. We dismiss Romans 7 as something for people who are not born again. Oh, that's not for believers. Man, I'm so holy than you. I never have all kinds of wrong desires in me. We are living in a la-la land. And we give the wrong expectations for Christians who are following the wrong leaders. And they're living in bondage. And then we condemn them because they don't have the knowledge of the truth that sets them free. Do you see two separate identities? It is no longer I who do it, but sin living in my flesh that is doing it. So if you want to condemn someone, don't condemn me. Condemn sin in the flesh. Because you cannot make excuses for sin in the flesh.
And without that revelation, when just as the people were, God, you telling me not to sin, basically all they were doing was pouring kerosene on the fire.
It's like putting oil on a fire whenever you say, stop sinning. It's like saying, do not commit adultery or do not commit murder. Did you know that when you hate someone, you know, it's like you already commit murder? Now, Jesus said that under law, to bring everybody under their knees to recognize that you cannot be justified by the law. But we cannot use even what Jesus said there. Right? Did you know that if you look at a woman lustfully, you already committed adultery, and then we use that like a hammer to beat Christian up and say, hey, live a holier life. Can you get your act together now? Can you watch your thought life now? We got teaching so much on character now. How to develop a better character. Now, I'm all for a better character, right? But that is the result of having the right doctrine unto godliness. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are having the cart before the horse. And no wonder Christians can have victory, but only for a short time. And then they're back in the rut again. Because they're not constantly really being challenged, even in their doctrine. What do you really believe, sister? If you're living in the bondage of fear or depression, let me challenge you. What do you really believe deep down inside? Do you really believe the gospel truth that you are really the righteousness of God in Christ? Oh yeah, I believe, you know, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. They just say it, but they don't really believe it in their heart. Because if a person truly believes this, right, a good tree will produce a good fruit. It's just a matter of time. Your good fruit will manifest. You cannot stop a good apple tree from producing nothing but the good apple. You cannot. Maybe once in a while it may have some insect problems, and then the apples might gone bad because of some insect stuff, right? But that's like once in a blue moon. But most of the time, the fruit that will come forth out of your life will be love, joy, peace. Once in a while, you may have a bad mood. But that's like once in a long, long, long time. It's like because you are so ingrained with the doctrine that I'm teaching you today, the doctrine which is according to godliness. Amen, beloved of God? Can I continue here?
I think I've heard it taught that way before.
That's what I'm telling you. I'm being radical.
That is the problem.
Huh?
When you become a believer, this is not taught.
It isn't. It's always...
It's like... You know,
it's all one.
You know, I'm a pastor, like, and I feel like I'm vulnerable here, sharing with you. Hey, flock, you know what? Before I know this truth about who I am in Christ, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, I have all kinds of evil, wrong desires. Even sometimes, even till this day, sometimes I still have all kinds of wrong, evil desires. Whenever I'm not focusing on Jesus Christ and what He has done for me, that has caused me to be the righteousness of God in Christ through His blood. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know how many Christians are living in bondage today? Did you know that the rate of divorce for a Christian marriage is almost as high as the people who are not yet born again? What is wrong? What is wrong here, people? What is wrong?
This was not taught.
God is not a liar, right? His word is truth. He said, you know, my truth will set you free, the truth that you know. But can someone preach the truth? Can someone please be transparent and open to people and letting people know, right? If you walk according to the flesh, you will die. Whether you're born again or not, does not really matter. And the only reason why people are still walking after the flesh is because they don't know their real identity. They still condemn themselves every time they sin, instead of condemning sin in the flesh. They're condemning themselves. Oh, I'm such a wretched sinner. I can't believe I do that. When the Bible says it is no longer I who do it, because the very thing that I want to do, I do not do. But the things that I hate, I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin living in the members of my body.
Amen. That's good. Good teaching.
But we are condemning people.
Yeah. Even ourselves. That's true.
We're not condemning sin in the flesh.
One person. Oof. That's not true.
Where was I actually?
Wow.
Let's look at verse 21. I know it's kind of deep. I know, but I thought if Apostle Paul shared this, I gotta share it too, right?
Yeah.
It's not just for the so-called elite, super mature Christian. What about baby Christians here? Maybe baby Christians can hear this and become mature instantly after they hear this.
Yeah.
So that they're no longer, living a frustrated life. So many Christians today are living in bondage in so many things. They're Christians who are in the bondage of fearing people. They're afraid of people. They're afraid of people's disapproval. They're afraid of, well, I don't get their votes. Or I'm afraid that people will stop coming to my church. Or I'm afraid that people no longer give me money. I'm afraid if just say what the Word of God says, people might be offended. What if people are gonna persecute me for preaching the truth? What if people are gonna block me, do character assassination about me for, well, he's just telling people to live in sin, blah blah blah. Well, here's the deal. I'm done away with the fear of people.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because God says the fear of people is going to be a snare. I'm not going to be people pleaser minister, but I'm going to be preaching the revelation that the Lord has given me.
Amen.
Not because I hear brother so and so preach. I'm preaching the truth, all right, to you, so that someday you have this revelation yourself. And it's not because Pastor Henry says so, but because the Bible says so. And you're able to set free your loved ones and the people that you're able to disciple as I'm discipling you right now.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Pastor Henry, let's move on. Come on. Okay, where was I? Okay, that was verse 19 when I said, "For I do not do the good I want, but I do the very evil I do not want. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer me doing it, but sin that lives in me." All right? Now verse 21. So I find the law that when I want to do good, evil is present with me. Did you hear this law? It says, I find the law that when I want to do good, not before, it's when I want to do good, evil is present with me. So when you try to fulfill the desire of your mind, even the good desire to serve the law of God, right? I find the law that when I want to do good, I want to serve the law of God, right? That would be a good thing, right? But it says, when I want to do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see a different law in my members waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that is in my members. I find the law that when I want to do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see a different law in my members, this is talking about your flesh, right? In my members, waging war against the law of my mind, right? And making me captive to the law of sin that is in my members. So, back to that Ephesians 2, verse 3, it says, we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So, when we try to fulfill the desires of the mind, what happens? There's another law that will wage war against the law of my mind, and it will make me captive to the law of sin that is in my members. And then Apostle Paul, in frustration, verse 24, right? Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from the body of death? Do you feel like that? It's like, you know, this is a true, genuinely born-again believer that feel frustration because they feel like they're defeated, they're beaten up by sin, they feel like they're beaten up by lust, they feel like they're beaten up by all kinds of wrong passions, by all kinds of wrong affections, by all kinds of wrong lusts, by all kinds of wrong desires. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Right? And then verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So who will rescue us from this body of death? Thanks be to God, verse 25, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. And either way, when you try to fulfill the desires of the flesh, or you try to fulfill the desires of mind, before long you'll be living in the bondage, right, of what Ephesians chapter 2 says. You'll be conducting yourselves in the lust of your flesh. Just before long, that all kinds of wrongful desires will begin to creep up whenever you try to fulfill the desire of your mind, even the good desire to serve the law of God. Even when you have the desire to do what is good, I want to do what's right. I desire to do what's good. I want to do good. I want justice. I want everything that is good. I want to do what is good. I want to do what's right. When you are trying to fulfill that desire of the mind, even the good thing, I want justice. I want to do what's right. I want to fulfill the law of God. Remember, the law of God is about justice, right? The law is about what's right and what's wrong, right? The law is about what is justice. Well, somebody's got to pay for this wrong, right? Somebody got to pay for this wrong. I desire what is good. I want what's good. I want to fulfill the law of God. Before long, we'll be conducting ourselves in the lust of our flesh, and will be under that bondage. Because again, the Bible says, I find the law. When I want to do good, evil is present with me. I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see a different law in my members waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. It's a catch-22.
Yeah.
You try to serve the law of God, which is good, right?
With your mind.
With your mind. I want what's right. I want what's justice to be done, you know. I want the wrong to be punished, and I want to do everything right. Catch 22 here, because it says, whenever I want to do what's right, evil is present with me. And then Apostle Paul says, who's going to save me from the body of this death? It says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now remember, Romans 8 and Romans 7 is one passage. There is no chapter that divides the original writing of Apostle Paul. It is actually one single letter. And so here, we cut off chapter 7 here by saying, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. And then we put a period there. That's the end of chapter 7. And we go to sleep. And we miss the whole point. The whole point that he was trying to build a climax to is Romans 8, chapter 1. It says, there is therefore. Now, whenever you see the word therefore, find out the passage before that, why the therefore is the therefore, right? So, here is Apostle Paul letting us know, you know what? I'm in a dilemma here. I know I'm not supposed to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but I have a desire to do what's right, to fulfill the desire of my mind, that desire to serve the law of God. But I find out, every time I want to do what's good, there is another law that's waging war against me, bringing me captive into this law of sin, so that I end up sinning even more. That caused sin to become utterly sinful, that would cause me actually, you know, in such a state that the thing that I hate, the very thing that I hate, that I keep on doing. I don't want to be depressed. I know I'm supposed to be joyful and not supposed to be gloomy. I know I'm not supposed to have lust. I know I'm not supposed to have anger. But the very thing I hate, I keep on doing. Oh, wretched man, who's going to save me from the body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's building a climax to let us know the only answer is our Lord Jesus Christ through what he has done at the cross when his blood was shed for us. It's not another sermon on character building. It's not another sermon, be a good girl. It's not another sermon, do what is right, boy. It's not another sermon about morality. It's not about another better character, a better you or a better nothing. It's about knowing that he's building a climax here to Romans chapter 8 verse 1, where he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from this law of sin and death. Beloved of God, are you listening to the Word of God?
Yes.
The law of God is saying, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is saying, look, there is now absolutely nada. When God sees you, even after you were walking after the flesh, that means you sinned, alright? And we don't make excuses for sin. We don't make excuses for sin in the flesh, right? God sees you as someone in the Spirit, righteous by the blood of Jesus, such that he will never withdraw his presence from you. There's always this notion, after I sin, I've got to confess my sin. Number one, that's already a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
Because when you confess your sin, you're saying it is I who sin.
Yeah.
When the Bible says, if I do what I don't want to do, it is no longer I who do it. Are you going to agree with the Word of God? Are you going to agree with the traditions of men?
Mm. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
That makes the Word of God to have no effect.
Yeah.
Are we going to hold on to the traditions of men?
No.
Are we going to allow the Word of God to be what the Word of God says? All right? Again, number one, I have no problem with people confessing sins. All right? Because we know, well, I have a choice to walk after the flesh or not to walk after the flesh. Well, I made the wrong choice. I was led by the flesh. Right? I was ignorant. I did not know the truth. And I made that choice. Yes, there is the part of me that missed the mark for walking after the flesh. So it's okay to say, Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I should not have fallen to that desires of the flesh and desires of the mind. I should be focusing on Jesus. So forgive me, Father. But don't ever think that every time you sin, God is withdrawing His presence until you get your sin confessed. Because God will never leave you nor forsake you. Alright? And God is saying here, what the climax that He's building up is Romans 8:1, is to let you know, right? There is no condemnation. Because, you know why? The law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And then in Romans 8:3 it says, for what the law could not do in that it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And Jesus, as a sin offering, right? He took our flesh upon Him at the cross.
Yes.
And what happened? God condemned it. God did not make excuse. God condemned sin in the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ. He does not have sin, but He took our flesh and put it upon Himself. Right? Like a sheep with a wolf skin. They took all of our vileness, the wolves, but He's a sheep. He's a perfect Lamb of God. But He put it on. And then God unleashed all the condemnation, all the wrath, all the cancer, all the pandemic, all the sicknesses, diseases of all the world, and He placed it upon His Son. He condemned it so thoroughly, right? The sacrifice is greater than even the judgment. And Jesus said, it is finished. The sacrifice is greater than the judgment. There is no more wrath of God left because the sacrifice prevailed by still being able to say, it is finished. No more condemnation. So this message, beloved of God, of no condemnation because of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are to pass to those who would listen to this gospel truth. Because it will set them free. They will no longer live with a mistaken identity. If they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, if they believe in Jesus who took away all their sins, right? And who rose again on the third day, they are born again, they are in Christ, they are so righteous, they are so clean, right? They really don't have to go through the miserable nights that they go through if they hear this gospel again and again. That God sees you truly not guilty anymore. God truly, truly loves His children to such an extent that He gave up everything so that we don't have to have condemnation anymore. And once that condemnation is removed, it's so much easier to receive healing, to receive provision, to receive blessings. But if this message is not the foundational message that we emphasize, people are shortchanging the blessing themselves, because every time they sin, they condemn themselves. And then that condemnation is what stops the flow of that blessing, and then we think that God is mad with us every time we sin, when it is not God who is mad with us, it is us madding with ourselves because we're so frustrated because of the wrong doctrine that's being propagated out there. Even till this day, people are still living in bondage because they're not hearing the gospel truth like what you're hearing. No wonder they live in such a miserable life, especially during this difficult time. They think that God is judging the world. They think that God is mad at the world and God is sending punishment and condemnation and pandemic. We think that God is the one who is instigating all this because we don't hear the gospel truth that all wrath, all punishment, all condemnation, right, for the sins of the entire world have been condemned on the body of Christ. So there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So beloved God, I'm just going to read Romans 8 verse 1 to 4 because this is the climax. So beloved God, remember chapter 7, chapter 8, they're one continuous whole. Okay, so don't break 7 and 8. You know, you read chapter 7 and then, alright, time to go to bed. Next morning, I'm going to read chapter 8. It says, there is therefore. Again, find out why therefore is therefore, right? Find out what chapter 7 was saying, right? So it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the life-giving Spirit in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God achieved what the law could not do because He was weakened through the flesh by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous requirement of the law may be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So according to the scripture here, what is the definition of walking according to the flesh? You know, traditionally, walking after the flesh has been taught, there is no condemnation if you walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. In fact, if you have a King James Version Bible, I just want to let you know that there is some extras in Romans 8:1 that's added that's not in the original manuscript. Your King James likely says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Now that second part there, who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit, is not there. They added that because, again, traditions of men can make the Word of God to have no effect. The translator simply could not believe, almost like a blank check statement by Apostle Paul, there is absolutely nada, zero condemnation for those who are in Christ. That's it. And then they added that, for those walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. All right? That part is added. It's not in there. In other words, I want to let you know, the traditional notion that we've been taught, right, that God will not condemn you as long as you walk after the Spirit, all right, is another wrong doctrine, again, that we're teaching people. If you live holy, God will not condemn you. Be a good boy, you know, live holy lives, and God will not condemn you. Now reason with me. If you live holy, why would God condemn you in the first place?
That's true.
Think. Traditionally we've been taught, right? Oh, don't walk after the flesh. Walk after the Spirit. What they're implying is, don't drink or cuss or chew or go with those who do. That's the behavior thing they talk about. Don't walk after the flesh, man. They think of the flesh like, the flesh is like lust and all these things, right? So, but I just showed you from the very beginning, Ephesians 2:1-3, it says, okay, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Yes, of course, all those bad stuff. We don't want all the stuff in this world, right? But it's also walking the flesh here, including fulfilling the desires of the mind, which includes trying to serve the law of God. That is walking after the flesh. Right? And here, I just want to let you know here, the main point of the doctrine that is according to godliness is to let us know there is now absolutely no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the way that you maintain yourselves walking after the Spirit is to hold fast to this truth that we just read in context in Romans 8:1, that there is no condemnation today, right? Especially after you have sinned. Not only there's no condemnation if you do not walk after the flesh, then what's the good news in there? Of course there's no condemnation if you don't sin. But the gospel, the good news is to let us know Jesus took your place, and God condemned sin in the flesh on the body of another, so that today you don't have to punish yourself anymore. That's the good news and the love of God to let you know that is the true definition of walking after the Spirit based on the context of Romans 8:1, is that there is now no condemnation if or when you sin today.
Come on, listen. That's some good stuff.
Now, again, I know this is radical, right? I know some people will say, so you're saying people should continue to live in sin then? That's the same accusation that people accuse Apostle Paul with. They accuse Apostle Paul of saying, let us sin some more so that good may come. Well, their condemnation is just. You know, Apostle Paul says that. No, I do not say that. God forbid. God forbid. What I'm saying is live in your true identity, who you are in Christ today. That is walking after the Spirit, is to live according to your true identity now. That you are truly the righteousness of God in Christ, not because of anything good that we have done, but because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because, well, I'm such a holy person. Why? Well, I'm not as bad as this drug addict over here. I don't do drugs. I don't do this. I don't do this. There's so many bad things that I have not done. So I'm better than these people over here. That's not the righteousness of God. That's called self-righteousness, right? And God is saying today is to let you know, beloved of God, right? Because of what Jesus Christ has done, your born-again spirit is so perfect, is so righteous, that he who is joined unto the Lord is one. And where are you today? You are seated with Christ at the right hand of God. And do you think that there can be sin in the presence of God? No, the fact that you are seated in Christ at the right hand of God, that means your born-again spirit is so perfect. But I had just the wrong thought. First, remember, if I do what I do not want to do. But Pastor, I had just this lust, all kinds of wrong desires. What's wrong with me? I've been a Christian for 50 years. I don't know where this all kinds of lust, this wrong desires, you know? I don't understand. Wait a minute. The Bible says, if you do what you don't want to do, it's no longer you who do it. It's sin living in the members of your body. And likely you have not been listening to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Haven't you? Oh, I know the gospel, Pastor. I went to this crusade 50 years ago. They said, come and be born again. Accept Jesus to your life. You know, he forgive all your sins. Oh, yeah? Well, you know nothing yet. If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know, the Bible says. So don't look down on the gospel and say, well, the gospel is for people who are not born again, you know, repent from your sins, you know, receive Jesus. Every day we got to have to repent. Every day we got to have a change of mind to the reality that I'm supposed to walk by faith in the Spirit, walking after the Spirit in the reality, in the identity of who I am, and not in a mistaken identity. Yes, you know, I had lust. Yes, I had thoughts, all kinds of wrong desires. But it's not me. It's sin living in the members of my body. And if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it. But I don't make excuses for it. It's sin in the flesh that did it. And God already condemned it. But I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ. Because it is written, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, you are walking after the Spirit. whenever you are conscious of our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. And your heart will be so full of love, so full of joy. It's impossible for people who understand the true gospel to be gloomy. It is impossible for anyone who understands this gospel that I'm preaching here, right, to remain in the same dire condition that they're in. Because the gospel is the truth. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, which is the gospel. And the gospel will set you free. And God is the truth. God cannot lie. The good tree here, this good doctrine that is according to godliness, right, will produce the good fruit in your life. But we're not concerned about the fruit. We're not concerned about the fruit. We're just concerned, right, about fixing our eyes on Jesus, right? I'm just concerned about Jesus and what He has done, and the fact that I'm so clean, I'm so righteous by the blood of Jesus. Even in the midst of my wrong desires, even in the midst of my wrong thoughts, the blood of Jesus is still there and cleansing me from all sin. I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ. There's still now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I'm in Christ Jesus. 1 John 1, 7b, it is written, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Past, present, and future. Oh Lord, thank you so much, Lord. Oh, this gospel is not just for people who are not born again. The gospel is for all believers now. I need to be reminded of this gospel all the time. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying, beloved of God?
Yes.
And you will be able to teach this.
Yes.
To your loved ones, for people, your friends, your colleague, your schoolmates, whoever they might be. And beloved of God, you are the light of the world. Amen. Yeah. I preach myself happy. Hallelujah. I preach myself happy. I told you. I preach myself happy because I know there'll be countless thousands. They'll be set free by this gospel truth.